Does the Americans with Disabilities Act apply to the World Wide Web? Well, that's the issue that both disability advocates and corporates have so far not had resolved by the courts, with past possible cases being settled out of court. But it's possible that the case brought against Southwestern and American Airlines by Access Now and Robert Gunson may finally determine the matter. Bob Gunson joins me now. Bob, welcome to the program. I wonder if we could go right back to the beginning, to the time when you first wanted to book that airline flight and you started running into some difficulties.
Oh, let's see. That may have happened back in the spring this year. I've used airlines several times over the past couple of years and thought about the problems I had been having, but it really came full force to my attention when I tried to book on Southwest Airlines in particular, because I was emailed a notice from their subscriber list about good fares and time limits for those fares. So I tried to use my screen software and get onto the net, and it was all internet. It was all internet ticketing. And when I realized, no matter what I did, I couldn't seem to put the information in the right places, fill out their forms, and get it to submit and work, I called in to their ticket agents, their regular human agents. And they said, you cannot get those fares, and they could not get those fares for me unless you ordered online. So I was caught in a catch-22 and quite annoyed by it.
And you explained to them that you were a blind person and that that was an inaccessible site.
Absolutely. I asked them, even using the terminology, that I felt I should receive a reasonable accommodation.
Right.
I happened to be in my daytime life, the manager of the Independent Living Center Network and largest disability rights organizations in New York State. So I know exactly how to advocate for myself, and they wouldn't hear me.
And what screen reading software are you using at the moment?
I use JAWS.
Right. So that's, I mean, that's a well-recognized, if not the most popular screen reader that there is.
Right. It probably is. It probably has the most scripts written for it, and it's probably the most widespread used, at least among the blind folks I know in the United States, probably worldwide. But it does. It all hinges on what the actual website designers do to make it, to build in design features to make it actively interactive with the software.
So when you were tabbing around that form and trying to complete it, was it that the fields weren't speaking, so you could go to an edit box, for instance, and it didn't tell you what it was, or was it even worse than that?
No, it was actually, it seemed better than that on face value, but the lines and all on the forms would seem to speak, and you'd seem to be filling them in, but then obviously your information was not going where you thought it was based on the JAWS. Their form wasn't lining up with the screen reader. The screen reader was probably reading following its own cursor and not really on the line that was on their form.
Okay, so it was speaking prompts, but it was speaking erroneous prompts.
Erroneous prompts, correct.
Oh, interesting stuff.
So you'd go through the whole ordeal, and then, you know, your time of arrival, your time of departure, and which days of the week, and all that stuff, and then send it in and submit, and they would say not accepted.
So, did you follow up with Southwest after that unsuccessful call?
Only with their agents, and then I have been working with the Access Now law firm for a little while. I know other folks who do work with them. They're a very well-recognized organization of legal staff that are familiar with enforcement of the ADA and a year before, approximately, I had a similar experience accessing the website of Barnes & Noble Bookstore, and which is one of the world's largest dealers in all kinds of books and reading material and tapes and so forth and music. And we did a similar action. We filed a similar complaint, but they chose to settle outside and make the necessary adjustments to their website. And frankly, I'm very surprised to this point that the airlines have chosen to contest the legitimacy of applying the ADA to the Internet.
Sometimes when we come across websites that don't work that well, and we send off a message to the webmaster, and quite often you get replies back that say, gosh, we really didn't fully appreciate that blind people used our site and we're going to fix it, and often it's fixed. Do you think that Southwest has had sufficient opportunity to make those changes before litigation was?
Yes, I do. Yes, we asked them. We pointed out what the problems were. We had other blind people also testify to the effect that they were having obstacles and difficulties using it, and Southwest in particular was keenly aware that it wouldn't take a tremendous amount of effort to make it, I guess we would use the Universal Bobby compliant, even though I don't know the technical details of what that entails. I know that that's a standard in the industry to know when a site is complying. And they just had no interest in doing anything about it.
So
it baffles me. It really does. I mean, blind people are definitely part of the marketplace for air travel in this country, and it's probably growing with the more blind people that have jobs, and the more people who lose their vision as the baby boomers age. And I just can't imagine that the airlines don't see us as a real viable participant in their market.
Well, of course, the airline situation is getting increasingly worse. As you point out, it's very difficult to get those deals on the 800 numbers anymore. You've got to go online.
That's right.
So it's critical. So has Southwest given you any kind of reason for their inaction, or have they just sort of had a stony silence?
No, they've had a stony silence. They just, they and American Airlines have had a stony silence, and we can only speculate. And the rumors, and that's all that they are, is speculation and rumors, is that the business community, which has often lobbied for various in various actions that have tried to water down or limit the scope of the ADA, that there may be some support to actually try to press this case, and there may be other stakeholders who maybe even are offering financial support to bring the case to trial as well, to try to prove once and for all, from their point of view, that the ADA was never intended to apply to the Internet, and Congress had no provision in mind, and that it, because it didn't exist, then it doesn't. But, of course, the lawyers that are working for in Access now, they see the ADA piece of legislation that has the potential for all kinds of evolutionary applications. It did not, by virtue of identifying public entities that were covered, it did not eliminate others that were maybe not mentioned by name, including the Internet.
Yes, up until now, it's been a bit like the old Cold War theory of mutually assured destruction. Neither side of this issue has really wanted an unequivocal ruling on this matter, and so there's been quite a lot of work to settle these cases out of court. Are you fairly sure now that this is, in fact, going to be the case that finally does go all the way and gives us that ruling?
I'm not totally sure. That's why I say I'm kind of waiting to see at what point the button is pushed to take it the rest of the way. This past Wednesday, I was hoping to hear before I spoke with you, and I've been hoping to hear in general. I believe the legal counsel from both sides were presenting their cases before the local circuit, the regional circuit court judge, to decide whether or not they would take the case on their docket. And I did not hear back if there was a decision rendered about that as of today. So that's the first step, if the judge agrees to take it. But this could be settled right up to the day that it's actually tried and before a decision is reached. And I still think that if there's any possible indication that legal precedent could be set in case law, I think they're going to look to settle.
The U.S. Supreme Court has in recent times taken a very minimalist kind of interpretation of the ADA. That must be of some concern.
It is a concern, although we think that in this case they're not similar to the kinds of cases that were tried before. All of those decisions that the series of them that went in restricting the scope of the law were all 5-4 decisions, and they were very, very tough losses, but there was a pattern. They seemed to limit the scope in terms of the population that the law covered. Like, it started out where we felt it was any person that met the definition of disabled under the ADA, and little by little, based on circumstances, corrected vision, carpal tunnel syndrome, that it didn't affect other life functions outside of work. They limited the law, but this is not about the population. It's about the actual entities that are out there in the public domain that people with disabilities will have to interact with. We're only at the first couple of steps up the ladder to very, very electronic and web or internet or whatever it becomes in the future, cyberspace marketplace as the global market expands. And I really believe that the lawyers believe that the ADA was intended all along by Congress to allow for equal access in the marketplace. And that's why they feel very, very sure that there won't be a negative finding on this.
Is this generating quite a bit of attention for you from the mainstream media in the U.S.?
Some, not a lot. I did get some. I got some calls from some newspapers and radio shows out on the West Coast, and I also got contacted. We're yet to connect, but from somebody who does work in a technology access from England. So it did get out there, and of course, lots of folks that I've come in contact, as I did say, I'm very involved in the disability rights community for the last 25 years in my career. A lot of people picked up on it and kept sending me email copies of it and saying, good luck, or, I saw it, one long list go with forwards with, it was, they said, must read. So I know it's getting circulated.
And Is there any adverse reaction that you're aware of from the media? I guess maybe some of those conservative talk shows are picking it up.
Haven't heard any yet, but I also don't really listen to them very much. I personally tune out a lot of that stuff. I listen mostly to public radio.
Do you think that the American public is broadly sympathetic to this view, that the internet should be accessible for all and that there is much more awareness of the digital divide than there was, say, even a couple of years ago?
I would say it's still very, very individual and circumstantial. Overall, there's probably been many more gains in knowledge about the access options that people have, particularly who are blind. We have had many different TV shows that have demonstrated the way blind people use computers at work and on the internet. I do think more blind people are finding their way into the public and private sector at work. I do think that there's been shows that have demonstrated software where people with physical disabilities, like Drag and Dictate and so forth, where people are voice activating the keyboard and the computer. I think the gap is, I think you really, in the baby boomer age range and younger, even from mainstream media, news type shows that had those kinds of things on it, and a few commercial movies where you might have had years ago even a blind person using technology. I think it was called Sneakers, the name of the movie, that some whiz guy was using Braille and an electronic keyboard with paperless Braille. I think there's a lot more exposure, but I think once you get out of the baby boomer age, the people in their early 60s and above who are still in the business community or on boards of businesses, I don't really think they have a clue. I do not think that most businesses, when they initially set out to design a web, gave very much thought to the disability community.
You know, there's a lot of debate in the blind community about accessibility versus usability and what actually does constitute an inaccessible site. And I suppose that, assuming that nothing has changed since you visited the site and had some problems with Southwest, that somebody is going to email me and say that they've been to the site and had no problem with it.
Of course they will, and I've seen, and this week alone I've seen one email where that was the case.
How do you respond to that?
It wasn't sent to me. It was a copy that was sent to me. It was some dialogue back and forth. How do I react to that? I mean, if you can't use the mainstream, most commonly used platform for accessing the screen by speech that most blind people have and in their hands and at their work, possibly at home and at their workplace, and there's something very wrong with the sites that are especially if it's something rather simple in the design stage. Sure, you're going to get techies. I'm more, and always have been, more of a user. I don't have a second life to learn all of the nuances and spend endless hours trying to come up with tricks and patches and ways of getting, you know, around everything that's out there. I don't think that people who shop every day and go on the internet have to do that. And I don't think we should have to do that either. But sure, you're going to find people that are going to be able to find ways around it. Maybe even with JAWS, I don't know. I haven't heard any word on this from Hinter Joyce, the company, you know, that developed and sells JAWS. I'd be interested to hear what their thoughts are about, you know, whether or not any of their own technicians could access the Southwest and American Airlines websites. where was I going with this? The I always think back to the AOL issue, America Online.
Right.
The kind of access that I hear some people using in order to use AOL is phone access to enter, to have human employees that are there to accommodate blind people post things and read things off of the AOL online service for blind people. That's to me, that's not directly using the internet. You have to go through an intermediary. And the blind community did, you may have recalled the suit that the National Federation of the Blind did about AOL.
Yes, indeed. We spoke to some of the key players while that was going on, too.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us thought that was going to be the big one that would determine once and for all whether the ADA was applicable or not.
Yeah, we thought it would, too.
Yeah.
We thought it would, too. And then they settled on that one, too. And I'm not sure what will come of that in the long run, too, because I'm not sure if they've really owned up to everything that they, purported to deliver.
Yes, I do hear a bit of unrest out there, but I haven't had any feedback on whether AOL 8.0, which is just out right now, is any better or not in that regard.
I have not heard it either.
Right.
I'm still thinking about 6.0 when we were expecting that to come out better.
So, if this isn't settled, then this could take, some years to resolve, potentially, under the way that the justice system grinds away?
Yes, it could. It could. It's supposed to be heard. If it does, in fact, go to the circuit court, it's possible it could be heard in the next year's docket, which, could mean the earliest that it could go to trial would probably be next spring.
And does the group that's assisting you with this have the resources to see this through? Because obviously big corporates have got big lawyers with big pocketbooks who can make sure that this does go all the way to the Supreme Court if necessary.
They feel strongly that they do. I mean, I'm sure there's some breaking point eventually, but they're not just a fly-by-night. They are one of the most active litigious firms enforcing the ADA. I mean, they have become, I think, in some respects, a business community's nightmare because they take on a lot of ADA suits, and some of them, some you may say and maybe even agree are easy wins and could have easily been settled possibly by the plaintiffs trying to mediate a solution without a lawyer, but they just take on the case and push the AD. And I guess I've been doing this, like I say, for 25 years, and in many different arenas, whether it's the Office of Civil Rights complaints that individuals have to file in order to fight their way out of nursing homes when they can't seem to get back to live in the community, or whether it's an old case that we once did as class action in another state of Massachusetts when disabled people were feeling they were not getting access to alcohol, drug prevention and treatment and rehabilitation services. The legal arena seems to be the only way in the end that you really get anywhere with the business community. It's the only thing they understand. So they kind of seem to create their own problems.
Well, I suppose that it's a bottom line thing, isn't it? And what they're saying is that the market is so small that unless there is that legal requirement to do anything about it, that maybe it just doesn't make economic sense for them to invest in what could be a fairly major revamp of their website in this case.
They could feel that. They could feel that. And also, when you ask about the resources, I don't know who Access Now is talking to. I mean, they may also partner on something like this with the NFP, who do have a lot of resources. There might be world blindness organizations that might be interested, because this is a worldwide access issue. It's, you know, could be fought out here in America, where a heck of a lot of the international businesses are, but it has much bigger implications on in the blindness community than just that Access Now takes it on.
Well, we'll be watching it with considerable interest and hope to get updates as the case progresses. And we thank you for coming on the program today.
Oh, you're very welcome. I hope your listeners enjoy it, and I hope that they find ways to take on other big issues like this in your country and elsewhere around the world.